God blesses that too. You know, He'll bless us for being here today, and all the other churches that meets in His name on this wonderful day, the Lord's Day. So look with me in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. Talking about the cross continually. This is pre-Easter services. This, you know, just a couple of Sundays away, you know, celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the grave. The grave couldn't hold Him, could He? No, because He kept His promise and rose on the third day. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Him, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated from the hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's good, isn't it? That's good words. If indeed you continue in faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul says, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So when he says that he was made a minister, what does that mean about us? We're all made ministers of the gospel of Christ. Several years ago, I knew a pastor in Logansport, Indiana, and he was driving through downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana, where you all just got back from. And he was driving along, probably normal speed. He may be just, he said, going over just a little bit. And right before the light, he got to the light, it changed to yellow. So he thought, I can beat this thing. So he speed up just a little bit. And as he was getting ready to go through the intersection, he happened to see two policemen on both sides of the four-lane section, which was one way. Well, he thought, oops, I guess I better stop. So he put on his brakes, and he actually, literally, skidded to a stop right between those policemen. He kind of turned to his right and kind of one of those sheepishly little grins, you know, like, whew. The policeman, he grinned back, and he goes like this, safe. Have you ever had a policeman do that? But this is what happened. His name was Pastor Jeff. And now, there's an intersection there, and the questionableness of this stop, if it hadn't have been for those policemen, Jeff said he would just cruise right on through the light on the tail end of a yellow warning signal. How many of us have ever done that? Yeah, we all have. And sometimes they turn red before we get through, right? But the policeman's car, being there, declared something to him. It declares something to all of us. Don't break the law, right? Don't try to get by breaking the law. And when I think about this story that Jeff shares, the cross of Christ declares certain things as well, doesn't it? And it isn't always what we want to hear. The cross of Christ confronts us with certain truths that we may find difficult to face sometimes. And going back to verse 22 through 24, I want to reread those because it deals with not only, Paul at that time talking with the Jews, or he's talking with the Gentiles as well. And verse 22 says here in Colossians chapter 1, "For indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks such for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews and a stumbling block, and the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called," and Paul says, and that's both Jews and Gentiles, we're all called to salvation. And then Paul says, "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So he said, we have the power and we have the wisdom of God. So why does the world find the cross to be a stumbling block, as Paul says here, or dismiss as foolishness? Well, I think it's because the cross declares things that the world doesn't want to hear and oftentimes do not want to accept. There's a lot of things that happens in the world that we don't always want to accept, do we? Now, sometimes we don't want to hear, do we? And that's sometimes why we have what? Selective hearing. And when it comes to the spiritual things, it's not good to have selective hearing. It's always good when Jesus says, listen to what I have to say. When Jesus speaks or when the Bible tells us something, it is for our good that we listen. We read and we listen with our heart. And we apply that to our lives as well. So, the first thing I want us to look at, the cross declares that we are sinners. And sometimes we don't want to hear that, do we? I've often heard people say, well, I don't like to be recognized as a sinner. I just make a few mistakes. Well, mistakes or excuses or whatever we want to call it, it's sin according to the Bible, isn't it? That means that we are missing the mark. If you're in a race, you don't want to go around the mark, do you? You're going to head right to the mark, and you want to cross the finish line. If not, what happens? We get disqualified. Have you ever been disqualified in a sport for breaking the rules? It happens all the time, doesn't it? Oftentimes we want to break the rules in sports, and sometimes we get by with it. We can slide by it because we don't always get caught by the referee. But guess what? We don't slide by what God calls us to do and what He has given us accountability to, and slide by it without it being noticed. So, it's not a red light either. It's the Holy Spirit who is often pulling or urging us and wooing our heart, illuminating our heart to understand His love for us. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, right? We all have sinned. I was talking to the Good News Club just recently, and we was talking about sin. And one little boy says, that's all, including you, Pastor Mike. I said, you're right. He said, we all sin. When the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of His glory. Most people don't like to hear that they're a sinner. They like to think themselves as a nice person. There's a lot of nice people in this world, isn't there? We're all nice in our own way, right? But does that make us fit for the kingdom of heaven just by being nice? No, we have to do something about it. We have to accept some, recognize, confess our sin, and then repent of our sin. So if it weren't for the cross, a person might be able to casually convince his or herself, I'm not such of a bad person after all. But if I am willing to face the cross and its message, I have to do something with the guilt that exposes me. Right? We have to do something about it. I need to justify myself, or I need to cover it up. That's what we think sometimes. In Indianapolis, a patrolman ran into a trouble investigating a routine traffic accident. As he gathered his witnesses together and getting all information to it, he was writing up the report, and in one of these drivers that was involved ended up being arrested. So he was writing up his report about this one and arrested him, and he filled out the report and he handed it to the man. Not knowingly, he turned around and he was chewing on something, and it wasn't chewing gum. The man happened to be chewing up the report. So the patrolman turned to him to get it out of his mouth, and he bit down on the patrolman's hand and was in his mouth for 2 minutes before he could get it out. And, of course, the report was chewed up and destroyed. Needless to say, the patrolman was able to get the other witnesses back and rewrite the report on this man. Can you imagine that? Somebody sitting there chewing up their report in front of the patrolman. See, we might not be so bold as guilty as a motorist in covering up our sin, but we all do it just the same. We make excuses for ourselves. That's just the way I am. How many of us said that? That's the way I am. That's just how God made me. No, not always. We point at others and cry that they were guilty too. Like the child who cries, he hit me first. You ever heard that before? I've heard that several times. They hit me first. Or we can compare ourselves with someone else. I'm just as good as so-and-so. Now, Paul, in his writings, when we compare ourselves with others, we prove that we are not wise. But the number one way in which we may try to deal with our guilt is to outweigh with our maybe what we call good deeds or actions. It's like the old-timey scales that balances. We try to place our visual of things on the scale, and they know that the things in which they are ashamed, it may make them feel out of balance. And that's what happened. We feel out of balance sometimes. So they attempt to recompense by doing good things. So we got these things on one side of the scales and our good deeds on the other side. See, this goes back and forth, more weight being placed on each side, but none being removed. The weight and the guilt of the bad deeds remain periodically resurfaced to remind us that we are unworthy of God's love. But you see, God loves us unconditionally, doesn't He? He doesn't overlook sin. And you know, that's exactly why Christ came to this earth to die for our sins, because the guilt and the weight outweighed our goodness. And that's why He said there's none good, no, not one. But thank God when He changes our life, you know, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old things are passed away, behold, good things come in our life. And those are the things that God looks at in our life, and those are the things that we will be rewarded for one of these days for the fruits that we bear because our lives have been changed. The Apostle Paul, he wrote these things because he, as he said, I am a minister, I am a messenger. Before then, he was a what to Jesus? He went around persecuting people. But God changed his life. And you can see how God changed Paul's life by the way God used him. And he changed his life in a way that when he wrote the scriptures, 13 of the New Testament books of the New Testament, Paul wrote over half of them. And you see, Paul tried, well, he did make up a lot of ground in his life, didn't he, by doing good. And God blessed him for it. And he wants to bless us as well in our lives. The second message of the cross is also hope. See, the cross also declares to us that God loves us. We all know what John 3:16 says. And that's why John the Baptist declared in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." If it hadn't been for the cross, we would all be doomed. There's a poet once observed, in his writing, he said, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song," and we often sing this song, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Or the wretch means wretched, a sinner like me. Then the poet says, "Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." You know, that's why he said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's an American businessman who went to see the famous production of the Passion Play. As he watched the play in process, he was overwhelmed and moved by the actor who was portraying Jesus Christ carrying a heavy cross. And after the play was over, he said, I want to meet this actor. And he went back and he met the actor that portrayed Jesus carrying the cross. And he said, "I just wanted to meet you." He said, "I was just moved by the compassion of Jesus in the story and by you portraying Jesus carrying the cross." And before the actor could do anything, the man had handed him the camera and he went over to pick up the cross. And he said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "I just want to pick up this cross. I want to carry it. I want to see the load that Christ bared for our sins." So as he got under it, he strained and he pushed and he was sweating. And he said, "Why is the cross so heavy?" He said, "I thought it would be hollow and I could be able to pick it up and carry it." He said, "Because the weight of the sins of the world called sin, Jesus bared the cross. The weight of our sins were so heavy upon Jesus Christ." He said, "This cross was made to signify the burdens that Jesus carried for our lives." You see, carrying the cross, that's why Jesus said, do what? Pick up your what? Cross daily? You want to follow me. And sometimes we can't hardly bear up under the load of our own cross, can we? But see, Jesus has lightened that burden for us. We don't have to carry any of those burdens and any of those sins in our life, because when he saved us once and for all. The Bible says past, present, and future. So if we will confess our sins daily, recognize what they are, confess them, repent of them, you see, we don't have to carry the heavy load of the world upon our shoulders. Christ has already done that. We couldn't pay the price that Jesus paid for us on Calvary. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he declared our sins with us. He carried them with him. Perhaps this reality alone caused the cross to weigh so heavy upon the strong shoulders of the carpenter, who is Christ of Nazareth. But unless we feel this weight he bore, we will never fully understand the meaning of the debt of the cross. One last thing the cross declares, it's by Christ's death we are freed. Think about that. We are free from our sin. That's what John chapter 8. We are free indeed. I want to read Romans 6, 1 and 6. And oftentimes I read this passage of Scripture when I do baptism because it speaks about our sin, that once we are saved, we are cleansed from our sin, we are dead from our sin, and we are alive in Christ. Listen to Romans 6, 1 and 6. If you want to turn there with me, feel free to do so. But it talks about dead to sin, alive in Christ. Verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? And I believe there's a lot of people that think that they can do that. Can we do that? Keep on sinning so that we can get more grace? Can't do it, can we? Paul says in verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? In verse 4, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so shall we might walk in the newness of life. And then verse 5, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, the glorious resurrection. And then verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our bodies were sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, that's the joy of being a Christian, that our sins are done away with. And it's real simple for us whether you're a Jew, Gentile, whoever we are, if we're willing just to confess. See, that's all Jesus asks any of us to do, whether we're lost, a sinner, or we're saved, a Christian. When we violate God's laws are his commandments. All we got to do is recognize by the power of his Holy Spirit who illuminates our hearts, that speaks to us intently as a child of God, and be thankful. Be thankful that you have the radar that lives within you, which is, I call the Holy Spirit, that is willing to say, knock at your heart's door. That's why When Jesus was talking to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my what? Voice. If you hear my voice, and if you will open the door of your heart, he's talking to the Christians, I will come in and continue my fellowship with you and you with me. You see, sin breaks that fellowship. You don't lose your salvation. A lot of people believe you lose your salvation every time you sin. I tell you what, I'd be scared to death all the time, wouldn't you? I'd worry myself to death. I'd be walking around repenting every second of my life if I thought I was going to lose my salvation. We can lose our fellowship And that's why Jesus said, if you're open, if you're just tenderly open, and see, Jesus will never force enter into your life, whether you're a Christian or not. He wants to be welcomed. He wants to be welcome in every aspect of our life. The Holy Spirit dwells, but He wants to be welcome in our life every moment. Not just when we think we need Him, but every moment. You see, Jesus said, I paid the price for your sin. Why will we not want to welcome Him every moment of our life? You see, the cross justifies us. From the foundations of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we were chosen from the very foundations of the world, and then we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 13, Ephesians 1 says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, sealed, that means we're locked in. We're locked in to God's glory. The cross justifies us. Justify, it means to become just as if I had never sinned. There was a woman in a certain town, had a habit of talking to herself in public. Everyone knew it and thought she was crazy. It was known that she believed that she even talked to Jesus and that He even spoke back to her. When this particular church, a new pastor came into the church, and he thought he might want to get to know this lady. So he made it a point one day, and when he saw her, he walked over to her and introduced himself and said, you know, I hear that you communicate with Jesus. Oh, yes, she said, I do it every day for hours and hours. We communicate, and He communicates back to me. And he said, would you do this one thing for me? She said, yes, I would. He said, the next time that you talk with Jesus, will you ask Him something for me? And she said, yes, I will. He said, ask Jesus, does He remember the last sin that I confessed to Him? She said, I'll do that. The next day, the pastor saw her on the street, and he approached her, and he said, did you ask Jesus what I asked you to ask? She said, yes, I did. Well, did you get an answer? Yes, I did. Well, what did he say? Well, he said he don't remember. Isn't that good? Yeah. Maybe she did talk to Jesus. Maybe he did talk back to her, right? Well, he talks to every one of us each day, right? He talks to us through the power of His Holy Spirit. You see, that's what the cross did, you know. When we confess our last sin to Him, what does He do with it? He takes it away from us. He doesn't remember it anymore. Of course, He knows all things, right? But you see, we're not held accountable for it. Only those that we do not confess to Him that He will remember, and He will hold us accountable to them. No matter what we do every day in our lives, you know, somebody else might not know what we do. It might be with the tongue we speak. It might be our thoughts. It might be some unruly deed. But you see, a lot of us might just look over it, pass it off, be passive. But you see, one of these days, we're going to answer to the deeds that we do here on this earth, by tongue, by thought, by might, whatever it might be. And if we are sincerely a child of God, we're going to be more conscious in our mind how we conduct ourselves on a daily basis, right? We're going to be more conscious of how we are witnesses for Christ. Because, see, people are looking at us. People are watching you. And they may say, you call yourself a Christian, and you're doing this, or you're doing that, or you're going to these places, and you're doing saying these things. They're going to have their doubts. Only you and myself only know what our relationship is with Jesus Christ. But sometimes our witness speaks louder than our words, doesn't it? But thank God that He has forgiven us. And that's why the cross, where it says, justifies us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means just as I had never sinned because Christ died for our sin. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony for the believer who is really, really committed to the cause of Christ and to the cross of Calvary. May we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy and your grace that you extend to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you give us an invitation. And through this invitation, the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us individually. Lord, I'm so thankful that you look at each one of us individually and you're willing to work the ins and outs in our lives for your honor and glory. Lord, thank you for providing grace and the mercy to each one of us that we so much need in our lives today. Lord, thank you that you're willing to forgive us of our sin if we're willing to confess and repent. Lord, thank you that Christ, your Son, Jesus Christ, loved us so much that he said, not my will, but your will be done, to go to the cross that we might have eternal life. Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you personally, Lord, you've been speaking to them, maybe not only today in this service this morning, but maybe throughout this past week or weeks and months before. And now it comes to a point that we need to make a decision. Yes, we're going to say yes to you, or Lord, we continue to drift along and rejecting your invitation to become a child of God. Lord, there's many Christians here today as well. And Lord, sometimes, Lord, we're not as committed as we ought to be, or maybe we hoard some unconfessed sins. May we be willing to step up, Lord, and say, you know, I want my life to be clean and pure and righteous before you, because we know there's none righteous before you. But Lord, through your blood, you cleanse us from all sin. And Lord, we can live out our life continually by trusting you if we're willing to confess of our sin. Bless this invitation, Lord. Let it be your honor and glory and the praise that you rightly deserve by us willing to, Lord, to yield ourselves to you at this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is going to be I Need Thee Every Hour, and we're going to be singing it from